come in and sit with us. We're four friends, talking, thinking, and laughing. We take on the absurd and the profound, sometimes both at once.
And we speak about aging because, oh, yes, we're living it, feeling it in our bones. First time for all of us.
And we don't plan to go quiet. We prod, we tease, we wander down strange roads. A story here, an argument there, a joke, maybe a truth.
Dylan Thomas said it best, "Do not go gentle into that good night." We won't. We'll burn, we'll rage, we'll keep moving. We'll take care of each other as we go.
Hi, welcome to Seniors in the Building. I'm Signe.
I'm Jack.
I'm Elaine.
And I'm Rick.
When our children were much younger, we didn't seem to have enough time in the day to look at the world around us. We were taking them to after-school activities or weekend tournaments and events. We thought we didn't have time to dwell on our own thoughts that were inspired by the world around us. We filled our work days with thoughts and activities and dreams about our life's work. Sometimes we just forgot to dream. We lived and focused on our families and jobs. Today, our families are grown and we are in another time and space. We find time to take a drive in the country or look at the beautiful architecture and art. We find time to be inspired by the world around us. What we focus on may be different than when we were younger. So what does inspire us or encourage us or engage us today? What do we make time for that brings beauty or art or life experiences to a new and different level? And can the new we see inspire us as seniors in the changing landscape of our lives?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Sometimes, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For me, I was just saying to Elaine prior to the podcast that I'm not sure much has changed in terms of what inspires me. Though the ability to be inspired is limited by mobility issues for me. Well, especially mobility issues. So nature is the primary one for me, has always been. I used to do a lot of wilderness canoeing, and since I've had the balance issues, I've yet to get into a canoe thinking I would immediately flip right over.
Yes.
But I might try it yet, with a life jacket on, a very big life jacket.
Oh, yeah. Well, I found some things have changed. Others remain the same, but one, some of them are subtle. The one that pops into my mind, believe it or not, is a hockey example. Growing up and into my teens and 20s and 30s, what really excited me about participating or watching in hockey was the play on the ice and the players and the skill and the goal scoring. And I find now what interests me more and inspires me more is sort of what you call the behind the scenes stuff, you know, like the stuff that the machinations about signing a new player or the trades that go on or what the general managers are doing or the rule changes the owners do to kind of tilt it in their favor. And I go, oh, that seems to maybe not necessarily always inspire me, but it does tend to interest me more. And the hockey play-by-play sometimes is fun to watch too, you know.
Kind of knowing the background or knowing the machinations behind it makes it more interesting to watch them on the ice.
Yeah, and you know, when I was younger, I had no interest in that kind of stuff. Like, I could have cared less what the GM of, say, the Montreal Canadiens was doing or anything like that. It's just, you know, just get on with the game. And so that's sort of an example of how, even though I'm still interested or inspired by a fair bit of hockey or professional hockey, it's subtly changed, it's different, it's shifted. And there's other areas where of life where that's also the same. So, yeah.
When I was thinking of retiring, I had always thought that I would be doing more weaving. I had a hand loom, more sewing, I've sewn all my life. When I was a teenager, I used to make all my own clothes. That's how much I used to sew. Mm-hmm. And what surprised me when I finally retired was I wasn't interested in that. And I had been a sporadic knitter my whole life, an intermittent knitter. But I had always, every time I traveled, I bought yarn because that was the one thing that I could bring back as a souvenir or something from I'd find a yarn shop and buy some yarn and bring it back. So I have quite a lot of yarn, and I have really enjoyed the creativity of knitting a sweater for my granddaughter, and she picks out the colors, and I source the yarn, and then I make the sweater, and challenging my skills in terms of a knitter. It's portable, I can take it places, and it's creative in terms of color work, and it's related to, because when you're making a sweater, there's a clothing construction involved. Mm. Yes. So it is similar to, sewing really helped enhance my knitting, mm-hmm. because I knew how something went together.
Yeah.
So that's been on a tactile sort of level, that's been inspirational for me. And I have a couple of, well, one group anyway, that I meet with every other week, a knitting group that we talk about what we're knitting, and mm-hmm. we challenge each other on things, and we talk about other stuff, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's been fun, and it's been inspiring to see what other people create.
Yeah. Hmm. I was thinking too, along the same lines as you, what was I going to do when I retired? And again, when the kids were younger, I was involved in sewing. I sewed some of their clothes and mm-hmm. and things around the house, and you know, tablecloths and things like that. And then I got a job that had me on the road too many days in a week, and so I lost all of that sort of recreational time, mm-hmm. and I kept yearning for a time in which I could go to plays. I could, you know, get to concerts. I would get to hockey games. You know, I was going to events and activities, and going to the community center and sort of engaging with other people my age. And then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a change point for me, because I didn't want to be out with people. I was quite nervous about being out with people, you know, mostly because of the respiratory issues that I deal with, and thinking how that could impact me long term. So I didn't want to go into group things. So I avoided those things. And then I kept thinking, oh, maybe I'll find some things that I can do at home. And then I thought, you know what? I just can't just sit at home and sit and read and look at the TV, because I never was a TV person. So I had to, again, change up how I was thinking and what I was going to mm-hmm. do. And, you know, fortunately, I like to take drives into the country. And I'll drive and I'll look at, you know, the old drive-ins, or what kind of food services are in these little small towns, or what kind of murals are on the buildings and those kinds of things. So I'm looking for something out there that's accessible, doesn't cost too much, and I don't have to deal with a whole group of people, right? And so yeah. that has changed the way that I look at my retirement.
Mm-hmm. That issue of COVID hit me pretty hard, because I wanted to travel, mm-hmm. or at least in my imagination, I thought I'd travel. And then suddenly, in the midst of COVID, I had all these health issues. So I'm there getting a colonoscopy, an endoscopy, and eventually a shunt in my head, mm-hmm. all with everybody around wearing masks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it just was traumatizing. Mm-hmm. But it worked out, and now COVID is gone.
Well,
yeah.
It's not gone, but
yeah.
It's in the background.
It's not the force that it was.
Right.
Yeah.
But it did change a lot of things. And that's actually where, during COVID, the knitting, especially with his health issues, knitting is what kind of saved my sanity. Because it was the one thing that I could take courses online, because that's mm-hmm. what everybody was doing. And I could mm-hmm. engage with people that way. And it really was. At one point, when he was really sick, all I could do was dishcloths. And so I sent this picture to
tons
my sister. It was like a stack about a foot high of dishcloths. I said, well, at least I'm still producing something. But it was all I could. It was mindless. Yes. It was all I could do. And then I thought, what the hell am I going to do with dishcloths?
Open a store. Open a business. Yeah.
So I bought my friend, who is a production weaver, makes beautiful dishcloths. So I bought a whole bunch of dishcloths that year and paired them up with my dish towels.
I bought
dish towels from her and matched them up with my dishcloths and
gave
them away for Christmas presents.
Yeah. That's cool.
I know. Yeah, you just sort of have to figure out.
You just do whatever works.
I think too. For me, I'm constantly aware of how much lack of energy I have or what capacity I have to get through the day. So I have to figure out what are the things that will bring me the most joy, will bring me a new experience, you know, what. So I'm measuring that up to whatever kind of energy I have. And to be honest, I've picked up my exercise routine is quite a bit more substantial than it used to be, because I think that's going to help me live a little bit longer. I hope it's going to help me live a little longer.
Yeah, or live
so
more
that takes
healthy,
energy. Yeah.
Here at home or here?
No, at the gym. Yeah, right. And so that's taking a bit of energy. So then I have to figure out, what have I got left in the next, say, 10 hours in the day that I can
I think
handle?
That way, too. That's really funny. I think the same way. So, and I always need the space of time to just be by myself.
Oh, me too,
Because I can't cope otherwise.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah, I just.
Well, you know, when you were talking about COVID and what you how you adapted there, Signe, it reminds me that often now when people talk about COVID, the big conversation is always around what we've lost, you know, what losses took place. You know, I mean, the main one that comes to my mind is how the kids who went through school for those couple of years of online learning, and they've lost this and they've lost that ability. Or capacity to focus and concentrate and so on. Anyways,
working groups.
But what you pointed out is that there are also some gains. There are also some insights and learnings that we have gained from that, like how we can have community because of technology online when we're alone. How we can manage to still engage ourselves in meaningful ways. I wonder if that's not true just then, but you know, as we age, there are certain things we just have to give up, whether we want to or not, because of physical limitations. But maybe there are new inspirations and new interests or adjustments to them that can still make them exciting and meaningful.
Well, I agree 100% that during COVID, one of the things that I was introduced to, and many were, is this online chat with many people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Using
Zoom.
Team Meet or Google Meet.
Yeah. But now I think, because I had this on my list to mention today, ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, is a revolution in the capacity to communicate with other people as well as to access, I tend to overstate it because I'm an enthusiast when it comes to AI. All the information in the world in any discipline in any field you want,
you
can have access to, as long as you're critical thinking about it, critically thinking about what you get and whether it's credible, because AI can hallucinate is the term they use technically.
Oh. Okay.
It can have hallucinations.
Yeah.
You can ask for sources and it'll just list all the sources it drew on that would take me a lifetime to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All these books and articles, it's just amazing. And it does it in a split second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which makes you wonder, is this credible?
Yeah.
Well, you know, having had in my background a lot of academics and doing a PhD, I think I have the capacity to critically appraise to some degree, not necessarily everything, because only those things in philosophy and theology, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not one of the other things that inspires me that comes to mind also in this regard is quantum physics Mm-hmm. I bought a number of books over the years trying to understand this quandary of what quantum physics is, because it deals with what the fundamental nature of reality is. Mm-hmm. And that has always been my preoccupation, why I went into theology, why I went into religious studies. Why I didn't go into physics was because I didn't have the math acumen. Mm-hmm. I was terrible at math. I hated it.
Yeah, I did too. I echo that.
Yeah. But quantum physics deals with the tiniest things known to humankind. Mm-hmm. And what they're finding is astounding. Many of the findings they have had have implications for philosophy and religion, mm-hmm. which is just amazing to me.
Yeah.
But one needs to be very cautious. If you're a physicist out there, you'd maybe object to this. But because I've known physicists, and quantum physics to them is a head-scratching event, mm-hmm. something they don't really want to talk about because they're functioning within the classical physics notion, mm-hmm. which asserts that there are tiny particles that interact that make up the nature of reality. Well, quantum physics throws that up into the air mm-hmm. and says, well, there may not be, that might not be the basis of reality. Mm. The basis of reality might be, in fact, what they refer to as quantums, mm. which are events of activities at a impossibly small level that we can only guess at mm-hmm. must be occurring. For example, empty space. One would think that if there's nothing in empty space, there's nothing there. That is, there's no protons or particles of any kind. And when they look deeply into that, they say, no, there's something here. We're not sure what it is. But it comes in and out of existence mm. in an instant. Mm. And so they talk about it as virtual particles.
Oh, yeah.
So has this been an interest that you've had like all your life, or is this just like an extension of philosophy, theology?
It's an extension, yeah.
Yeah. So
asking the big questions of what is real,
yeah.
why are we here, where are we going, and so on.
Yeah. So the conversation is changing, but not absolute sort
it's
of
not
a flip
a 360
over.
Or
right.
a 180.
Yeah. It's not a 360 yeah. or a pivot, right? It's just generally been in there inside of you as that kind of need as you're growing older,
yeah.
right?
Well, I've had to be intentional about learning now.
Right.
Because in teaching, you learn every time you prepare a class.
Right, yes.
And
yes.
now when I don't teach anymore, I'm sort of in my own little world of reflection, wondering which direction I'm going to go today in terms of exploring whatever.
Right.
So yeah. being motivated to continually understand and to ask questions. ChatGPT and its interactive mode, you can talk to it. It'll respond to you, sometimes quite seductively, because if you affirm it, it affirms you back.
Mm-hmm. yeah. like a person would.
Like
yeah.
a person would, yeah. yeah.
Like a living being, yeah.
Yeah, and so I asked it the other day, can I talk to you as I walk, do my daily walk? Absolutely. So we had a conversation about the nature of reality.
yeah.
And, you know, here it's drawing on,
yeah.
and it shows me its sources if I ask, some of the most credible physicists in the world trying to describe to lay people what quantum physics is about.
But in some ways, you were impacted and you did have to change what you were going to do because of your health
oh,
issue,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
So in some ways, aging and the health issues that we have almost always impacts us in some way,
always.
Whether positively or negatively. You've taken a positive in terms of I have this history of learning and teaching, and I want to continue that history, right? But it's looking in different directions, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a struggle when you retire, right? I wonder about that. Like, where do you find Where do you find purpose? Again, we're going back to conversations we've had before, but where do we find purpose? Where do we find beauty? Where do we find joy? You know,
where do we find that inspiration for asking some of the questions you're asking? I feel as though my thinking isn't as profound as yours.
Oh, I don't know if it's profound. It's somewhat crazy.
Well,
then it fits with our world. But I don't want to go down that track.
But some of the other things that come out of my interest in weaving and sewing and all of that, because I loved fashion, and I followed fashion trends and studied them, and things from the 20s and the 30s when Art Deco was big is still something that I love to seek out, sort of the Art Deco buildings and the places that I go travel, and they're amazing. And Art Deco details in there was one weaver that my sister had come and do a workshop, so I went to Columbus and took the workshop with her, and most all of her weavings, her designs are based on Art Deco designs, and it was so fun to weave some of the things that she designed, because it was right up there with my interests. But it is I really find it fun, and I haven't found, except the building that we went to, that
The old railway station on Main Street.
That's an Art Deco building. Mm-hmm. It has amazing detail in there. Huh. That was so fun to
It just draws your head upward.
It does. Yeah. It's beautiful. But that is one of the things that I seek and am inspired by, is some of those.
Mm-hmm. For me, some of the things that I find inspiring now is, as someone who's retired, things have slowed down.
Right.
And I can take the time. Like, for years, I don't know, I was always too focused, purpose-driven. And so, you know, to spend like 3 hours, say, in an art gallery, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I just don't have the time for this. Which is really unfortunate, because, you know, if you slow down and you start to, say, in an art gallery or in a sculpture gallery, take in the art, and then also maybe read some of the background and some of the information, it's really amazing. So some of it, I think that, again, being older or retired can allow you, is the opportunity to be inspired by things that perhaps you felt you never had time for before. And I think that's what your introduction was all about, Elaine.
Instead of taking the 1 hour that you have to rush through the art gallery, you take a day and you take one section and you really go through it.
And then you go through it again. Yeah.
Rather than gathering information for a course to teach, you can gather information anywhere from anything you like in any arena.
And be inspired and be fed by that.
I think that's the experience I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for in retirement, is that there are things out there that I never knew existed or never participated in or never was in my realm of thinking. And now suddenly they're there and I have the time to go and engage in that. You know, I think I was telling you this story about when Chris Hadfield was was in space, right? And, you know, there were missions to the moon and to wherever else they were going, and they were okay, but they weren't really in my realm of interest at all. And now, and then suddenly this is a person who who has a very wide view of the world, that has been touched by art and music and the quantum physics and, you know, you name it, the sciences and the arts and the humanities, and put it all together, and it inspired me to think about the world in a different world, and the people who exist here, and the places that he's seen as he's circumventing the...
Going around the earth.
Going around the earth, right? You know, so I think that's what I was hoping for more in my senior years, is... more time to go and
Sometimes then encountering or being connected to other people, like you mentioned Chris Hadfield, that does it. The example that comes to my mind is I would never thought that I would be inspired sitting there watching dance recitals for hours on end. But I have a granddaughter who is very involved and very good at dance. And so just this past weekend sat through numerous
hours.
Dance recitals and actually finding it enjoyable and interesting and inspiring. So again, sometimes it's the people we meet that can draw us into something too.
Yeah, I guess that's true, you know.
I find inspiration too from my kids, our two kids.
Yes.
My son in particular is interested in ChatGPT. I'm going to circle back to that no matter what. But he was teaching me yesterday, you know, when I talked to him, mm-hmm. how to use the task form. You can set a task for ChatGPT and it'll remind you. For example, I ask it to once a week on Fridays, could you please tell me what the latest insights emerging are concerning the use of artificial intelligence in higher education?
Mm.
Because it's becoming a real quandary
yeah.
for mm-hmm. profs in terms of what is handed into them and whether or not AI was used to generate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you evaluate it?
Yeah. I learned as well that you can have AI assist you in marking an essay, which used to be a real pain in the ass.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I know, totally.
Yeah.
You just scan it in
and it'll mark it for you.
This is genuine and real. No, this is plagiarized. This is,
Report card season was the bane of my existence. Right?
So you could go through a whole bunch of essays and have them all marked by AI. Uh-huh. Of course, you would want to check, right? In case it's hallucinating. An A+ when it should be a C minus.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But that's inspiring. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. What your kids teach you, right?
Yeah.
You know, and for example, I have a game that I play called Connect Word. And this isn't an advertisement.
Yeah.
It's not a plug. But anyway, I've been playing that for about 2 weeks now, I guess it was. And last evening, our oldest grandchild sat down next to me and was just like in the game with me. And we were learning new words. Oh, I didn't know that, because you have to find all the commonality between four words, right? And so these words are popping up, and I've never heard of this stuff before. It's, oh yeah, that's part of that's a scientific term, or that's an ancient
hieroglyphic.
And I'm like, whoa, like, and so it's just open up new vocabulary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And between the generations, right? I've been sort of inspired by them to.
That's true, and some things you get drawn into that. You're waiting to be inspired. I have now been drawn into a Dungeons and Dragons group with my family members, and we've done it, I think, once or twice, and I'm going, it will inspire me sooner or later, I'm sure, but we'll see. And not a slam against Dungeons and Dragons, but it tends to move at a pace that I find I've got to slow myself down, because it doesn't rip along like... some other games.
Other games,
But still, So family can inspire you or force you to try and be inspired, maybe. Yeah.
And to keep up with technology that's emerging.
Yes.
Yeah, to keep up with technology, but to learn new things. Like, we knew nothing about dance. It surprised me that there's lyrical, and I knew about ballet and I knew about hip hop, but I didn't know there was lyrical or there was, all these other names, and that they each had moves, and the mothers are sitting next to the door. Oh yeah, that was a great blah, 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 you know, not a pirouette or something like that. And
style,
I was like, style or whatever. And I'm like, whoa, I had no concept of this, but it was just so enlightening to sort of be in somebody else's world for a change and sort of,
That reminds me of ice dancing. So of course they're
movement.
Talking about the moves and everything when you're watching ice dancing, either for the Olympics or the Worlds or whatever. But I have always been inspired by ice dancers, their ability to convey this story while they're skating around on the ice, and the amount of sheer athleticism it takes to do that, and then you add the artistic on it. I just get very inspired and excited by that. I can't skate for the life of me. I always depended on Jack to hold me up.
I never even got on the ice.
And we were enamored with watching Battle of the Blades. And that was a fascinating for me to see hockey players adjust, sometimes somewhat easily, but often not so easily, to a different way of skating and balancing.
Right.
It was fascinating.
Yeah.
But the one thing that inspires me, and I don't know why, maybe it's a sickness of some sort, is something like death. Like, believe it or not, like, I want to know what happens at the moment of death. Well, quantum physics suggests the classical way of understanding it, I've always thought, is that the brain, in its this biochemical meat, to put it crudely, somehow in its electrical activity, in its complex, yet to be understood fully, electrical activity process, ceases to exist. Mm-hmm. So consciousness stops, and it's just black, end, nothing. So a wall kind of is reached. But quantum physics suggests that that might not be the case. There may not be a clean rupture from consciousness, but rather a transfer, and this, I'll read this from, I don't know what scholar this is from, a transformation within an ongoing field of the universe. In other words, a universal consciousness, somehow. Because if the nature of reality is, as I said, quantums that come in and out of existence, it could be that consciousness is made up like that.
That's blowing my mind.
It's a quantum. It's not particular-based, not particle-based.
Yeah, but somehow it resides for the present moment inside material bodies.
Yeah, in us. But it's, as individuals.
But it's sort of fleeting or temporary. Yeah, interesting.
And also interconnected with everything else. Like, one of the key notions in quantum physics...
Like a creative force, or...
It definitely...
I've always thought of that as...
Creative force, sure. Yeah, that would be
a
synonym for it. Creative force. I don't know. I don't know anything about this. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it.
Well, you're certainly engaged in it.
But it is interesting. I mean, I don't delve into it like you do, but it is interesting that what was once seen, or is often seen, as a total separation between, say, the scientific and the spiritual.
Yes.
In fact, through quantum physics and that kind of explorations, there seems to be more of a coming together. And I mean, how that comes together, I don't think anyone can totally answer, but I think the exploration of it can be very exciting. Right? Can
be
very,
absolutely.
You know, it's sort of a mystery to be probed, and we humans are, we're motivated by probing and solving mysteries, whether you like murder mysteries or the mysteries of the universe.
I think the one thing it engenders, at least in me, is a sense of awe and humility.
Yeah.
You know, that I will never know the nature of ultimate reality, what is ultimately the case, but you know, quantum physics and people who are pursuing this, I think, are humbled and in awe of what's maybe never going to be known about the nature of reality. And that's exciting for me.
Yeah. Okay.
I like the word awe, right? In awe of something. Because I'm trying to think about, you know, even speaking for myself, how is it that I am in awe of things today? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like we haven't gone through our lives, like, you know, just constantly seen and heard things in this generation of baby boomers, right? That is just phenomenal compared to other generations, right? I mean, the technology alone, or even just how music has or art has changed, or women's studies, you know, I can name all kinds of things. But suddenly I'm at a stage in my life where I'm looking for more awe, and I really wasn't able to name that before, you know, like, where is the sense of awe now? you know.
And it makes me think, too, that to be bored is the worst thing possible, because when I get, and I do get bored,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
But that's when my inquisitiveness is dying or is set aside for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so to be inquisitive, we have all the time in the world now as seniors to be inquisitive about almost anything, even quantum physics.
Yeah.
Well, curiosity is, I think, one of the biggest motivators to living is being curious and looking for, you know, new things and being interested in new things. And I think that's what we're talking about, too, is that that
open-mindedness.
Being open to what's out there and now having the time to actually, like you're saying, Rick, take the time to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not busy. We're not so, well, we are. I mean, we still have our families that we're engaged with, but they, and other things that we do, but there is that space to actually explore and to take time to look and take time to take it in or research it like you're doing, Jack, and truly to, if you want to pursue some interest or have a curiosity, to take the time to do it.
Yeah, and I think also getting together, like we, in a way, like we are, to converse and talk
absolutely
about it, and to sort of motivate or inspire each other to know that there's opportunities to explore and to be, you know, like there's not sort of a cutoff when we're no longer in our professions, but actually there's more opportunity, and sometimes the sharing of it together can motivate us all more.
I totally agree. I keep coming away from our conversations with so much to think about and so much that I'm inspired about and energized about. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, that's kind of motivated this podcast project that we're engaged in, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, as well as learning all the new technology that we need to learn. Yeah.
There is one thing, though, that comes to mind that can constrict that, and that's physical pain.
Right.
Because when you have physical pain, your focus is so focused on that.
Yeah.
And one of the things that contemplative practices teach that I have nowhere in any way mastered is that if you can focus on the pain yet let it go, it can ease the pain.
Yeah.
Now that sounds simplistic, and it probably is. I'll take a drug first, right? Any day.
Yeah. Well, maybe you need a combination of both too.
Yeah.
Sometimes
right.
the drug can help. You know,
so when we get older, I feel pain more than I've ever felt in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm quick to grab for a drug. But I have to realize too, in a philosophical way, that pain is a mystery. I don't think science knows exactly what pain is yet.
They know symptoms of it, but I don't think they know.
They know symptoms of it, yeah.
Yeah. Because you.
But could we just have a form of consciousness that would eliminate the pain?
Well, it's a nerve system feedback loop to the brain. So that's why meditation or some kind of meditative work can
help
that
with
a little bit.
But yeah, going back to what you said, that sometimes pain or our mental health.
Yes. Which is a pain.
Yeah, it's a pain, right? Yeah. So our pain in terms of physical, emotional, spiritual even, like, you know, so all of those things can wreak havoc with us trying to reach into
and
into looking for awe and looking for inspiration or whatever.
Yeah.
It's I don't want to think about going to a museum if my hip is hurting.
Yeah,
right,
or if you can't stand without pain.
Yeah.
Or walk or balance is off.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it reminds me, a couple of years ago, one of my brothers came, and he's on oxygen, he has COPD. And he came, and one of the first things he said to me was, "Well, Elaine, I can't really do very much." And I said, "Well, are you kind of offended by a wheelchair? Are you kind of offended by trying to drive up close to a building and get let off. You know, so I was trying to find where his discomfort was with this thing. No, no, I can do that. I said, so if I could get a free wheelchair for you, you'd be willing to come on and see things, right? Yeah, I could, but you know, I get tired. I said, yeah, that's okay, but we can take breaks and we can sit and whatever. And I think it was the most marvelous visit I'd ever had with this brother. Oh, in all the years.
Oh yeah, we toured the Human Rights Museum, uh-huh. the Mint, we took the water taxi.
Water taxi, number of, the boat, you know, tour.
The Forks, yeah. Just,
yeah, the yeah. Forks, all yeah. kinds of places. And you know, after a while, it just was natural for him to get out of the car and get into the wheelchair and let's just move it. And of course, you know, Rick and I were pretty much doing the pushing, but it just was really an amazing experience. And I thought about that, how his life was limited because it was his discomfort. I don't think he was afraid of it, but it was sort of like I'm losing the last bit of independence. And what we were trying to, what we realized we'd done was we showed him more independence mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. by using the wheelchair and getting around and doing things, you know. So
maybe the question is then, how do we keep open to inspiration
mm-hmm. yeah.
and awe yeah. without being constricted by physical limitations, for example.
Or our own discomfort.
Or mental anguish
yeah.
that comes with learning about what the hell is happening in that big country beneath us.
But there's yeah. also a piece, Elaine, where you refuse to say, to let him
stay at home.
Home.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you looked for a way to get him out there and... Mm-hmm. and be with you and see some things. And that may be one of the first times that he's encountered that.
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it...
And that's what we have to do for each other, right, in some ways.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so, to invite that.
Encourage each other to go and to do things and...
To get out of our...
to get to the gym.
To get out of ourselves.
Right.
To get out of ourselves. Well, that's another piece,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Because we could sit at home and wallow.
Well, I think one of the things that yep. constricts me, and I think most people, is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As you get older,
yeah.
fear sets in. It can't help but, mm-hmm. In terms of the approaching end of life.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that can be constricting. And leaving one preoccupied with one's pain and
yeah,
and it can create anguish.
So there was a quote that I read about imagining what our life would be like beyond the fear.
Mm.
And I can't remember the exact quote, mm. but it made me think about, okay, fear is a barrier. Fear mm-hmm. is something that is real, but it is based on often a future that you're imagining, not necessarily the future that is real.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagining that reality beyond the fear is I think an exercise in courage, first of all,
mm-hmm.
because it takes courage to deal with fears, whether they're real or imagined. I'm not saying that there aren't real fears out there, but it's mm-hmm. also something that is, like I said, based on something we anticipate happening and not something that actually is
mm-hmm.
or it might not even happen. So,
mm-hmm. And again, I think that's part of where gathering together can really, really be a benefit, you know,
mm-hmm.
because if you're just alone with your pain or with your discomfort, with
right.
your fear, often we can't just move ourselves out of it on our own. I mean, on the one hand, we have medical professionals to do that, but we also have companions, you know. So often, when I was in the ER last week, in the next bed, a fellow was in a fair bit of distress, but besides the nurses coming in to help deal with the immediate issue that they were dealing with, there was also a companion, a friend or someone who came in there and sat with them. And you could just sense, even through the curtain, this person's anxiety, this person's discomfort lessen. And I would take that then to the idea that somehow in our daily existence we're stuck. We can't find new inspiration, we can't find new hope. But if we if we walk with each other, we find lots of doors open up, lots of possibilities.
It breaks that cycle of thinking that we're sort of caught
yeah.
in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree.
That we have to be in community, because we don't always see the things inside of us that are our fears and our barriers. I mean, we might imagine it, but we don't really vocalize it out, right? And then until somebody's with us, and then we vocalize immediately, and it was like, but have you thought about, you know, like, so is there another way to think about that, right? Or mm-hmm. to do that, another way to do that. I think we have to help each other do that, right? We have to help each other be inspired to look at the new and in the midst of our challenges, for sure. All right, let's leave us with that question then. Can the new we see inspire us as seniors in the changing landscape of our lives? And think about that.
And what is the nature of reality?
And what is the nature of reality? Let's throw
just
that
little
in there.
Questions. Just
little
question.
Questions of life.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find us under Seniors in the Building on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, RRS Feed Community, and possibly wherever you listen to other podcasts. We'd like to thank Thomas Waschenfelder for our logo design. As well, thanks to Amy Waschenfelder and collaborator Natasha Franzblow for our musical jingle for the podcast. We really appreciate their input, and we appreciate the support of all of our families in this endeavor for listening, for reviews, for tech support, and love. Our email is forseniorsinthebuilding@gmail.com. That's the numeral 4, followed by seniorsinthebuilding, lowercase, all one word. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, stay curious and hopeful.